Our text for this Lord's Day is found in Galatians 5:22 as we continue considering the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And then James chapter 4, verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Why do we become so impatient in waiting for and working toward future goals and plans? How do you handle those delays in your life? What would you do if you were not able to attain and reach that goal for which you have worked so hard and that goal for which you have prayed so much? Would it be as if your life had come to an end? In part, dear ones, we have been trained in our fast-paced technological society to expect results, and quick results at that. Our lives are built around quick responses to emails rather than having to wait weeks or months to receive a handwritten letter. We expect to go through a grocery line in record speed in the express checkout line. We expect to get cash quickly out of our ATM rather than having to wait all that time in a line within the bank. We zip around in our cars around to go through the drive-through rather than having to wait for food in line within the restaurant. And when any of these particular services are slower than we think they should be, we have grown accustomed to grumbling and having to wait a little longer at this inconvenience. We get stressed, we complain, and feel like pulling out our hair, but really our hair is going to fall out all on its own if we continue to get so stressed out. Is it any wonder, dear ones, that we who are so accustomed to quick service and for certain results have been trained to expect that we're going to get, after a period of time perhaps, but a short period of time, we're going to get the results for which we have worked so hard? But dear ones, this is not the way of the Lord. What we're being trained by in our society is not the way of the Lord. For the Lord, dear ones, works all things after the counsel of His own will and in His own appointed time. Not according to our watches, not according to our calendars, not according to our goals, not according to our dreams and plans. We live by our calendars and by our watches. We become so oriented, dear ones, to filling our calendars and making future plans for this or for that event or for that goal that we forget that it is God, the sovereign God who has made us. It is God that holds our future and ordains our paths every single day. We so often forget, dear ones, to sanctify our plans, even those that we might consider to be more mundane and ordinary plans, to sanctify our plans with God's blessing and in prayer. Beloved, it is so easy with such busy schedules to act as though we ourselves are directing our own paths and ordering our own lives. And when our plans do not materialize, or when they are delayed for some significant period of time, we become frustrated, impatient, tired of waiting, and often make decisions and embark upon courses of life to reach those goals without submitting our will to God's will. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24, we have the words of that wise man Solomon, who says by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? You see, dear ones, the Bible teaches man proposes, but God disposes all things for his own glory. We must, dear ones, look to our gracious God and learn to patiently wait, to wait upon him to direct us and to bless us in all our plans for the future, since our times are in his hands, not in our hands. As David says in Psalm 31:15, my times are in thy hand. As we continue our study of the fruit of the Spirit, we consider once again patience as being a closely related fruit to that of long-suffering that is specifically mentioned in Galatians 5:22. From our text, let us consider the following main points. Number one, patience and the sovereignty of God. If the Lord will, James 4:15. And the second main point, patience and the responsibility of man. We shall live and do this or that. James 4:15. So let us consider our first main point, patience and the sovereignty of God, where we read in James 4:15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will. Our text here is surrounded by verses that point out a common sin into which we are so inclined to fall. Making plans about the future without a complete submission of our lives and our plans to the overriding, sovereign, providential will of God. Note the verses immediately leading up to our text. In James 4, verse 13, James calls us to consider this real life scenario very, very carefully when he says, go to now. That's what that phrase, go to now, means. Consider this very carefully. And verse 13 says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. James says that you make definite plans in regard to future business goals of buying and selling. Obviously, this likewise may include all of our plans concerning future goals that we have, even if they're not business related, but all of our goals may fall into this particular category of what James here is pointing out as being sinful, that we simply make plans, but we don't seek God's sovereign will and submission to that sovereign will on our parts. In James 4, verse 14, we read, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Here, in this verse, James provides a caveat, a caution to making plans and setting goals for ourselves in the future. First caveat is this: you do not know what the future holds. When he says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow," you are not, dear ones, omniscient. I am not omniscient. How can you make such certain plans that your goals will fall out just as you have anticipated, just as you have set them before you, when you do not even know what tomorrow will hold for you? Such confidence is completely misplaced. In pride, dear ones, we act as though we were a god. We set ourselves up for a very, very big fall when we do so. When there is a long delay to our plans, or when they fall apart altogether because we did not submit ourselves to the will, the providential will of God, that He's sovereign. Man proposes, but God disposes. But a second caveat: you do not even know with any certainty whether you will be alive to fulfill your dreams, ambitions, and plans and goals. James says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Dear ones, your life is as temporary here upon the earth as a foggy mist in the valley. And when the sun appears, the mist vanishes. It's not there any longer. Well, life, dear ones, is that way. Even if we live to a ripe old age, it is like a mist. But, dear ones, we're not even guaranteed to live to that ripe old age. You cannot build your life, your hopes, and your dreams upon the foundation of a mist any more than you can build it upon the sand, as Jesus said in the parable in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and following. It must be built upon the rock of our foundation, the rock of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And upon His will, His revealed will to us in the Scripture, and His providential will that He brings to pass in history and in our lives. To build our life and our dreams and our ambitions upon a mist, dear ones, is vanity. His vanity, as Solomon learned in the book of Ecclesiastes. As he continually says, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Because he tried everything to build his life upon many, many things. He had more wealth to be able to do so, more servants to be able to do so, more power to be able to do so. And he learned, it's all vanity to build your life upon the things of this world and not to build your life upon the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who never fades away. And then we come to James 4, verse 15, which is our text. Here we see the righteous and biblical perspective is presented in contrast to the foolish perspective of trusting in our own plans and trusting in our own dreams and trusting in our own resources to reach those plans and those dreams. Actually, there's two things that we see in this particular verse, just in summary, before considering more fully. First, James says, always qualify in your heart and by prayer before God your aspirations and your goals, submitting all that you are and all of your plans to the most sovereign and most wise providential will of God for you. When he says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will. But second, such a submission to the sovereign will of God, as we'll see, is not inconsistent with making plans and setting goals in our lives. It is our duty, in fact, to prepare for the future as best as we can, always in submission to the Lord and always in submission to his providential will. We see that in the phrase, we shall live and do this or that. There's a responsibility on our part by way of living and doing this or doing that. We are responsible before God. And then in James 4:16, James, speaking by the Holy Spirit, makes clear that to make plans without submission to the Lord in all things is evil. It's not simply neutral. James says it is evil. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Rejoicing in boasting about the future and the plans that you have made, wherein you've not submitted those plans to the living God in submission to him and what he may bring about in your life. Because this is evil. This rejoicing is evil because we are rejoicing in our boasting. We're rejoicing in our pride. We're rejoicing in our own self-sufficiency. We're rejoicing in our own resources to accomplish our goals, rather than rejoicing in the Lord God Almighty. And see, dear ones, this is likewise what is forbidden in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, where Solomon says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Don't take pride that tomorrow is certain to occur as you've planned it. Don't take pride in the fact that you've got the might, the power, the resources, the foresight to bring about what you have planned for tomorrow. Don't boast in that. That's evil, James says. Well, having now given a brief overview of the context, it should be clear to us all how trusting in your plans or staking your goals upon a certain deadline or upon a particular dream or aspiration that you believe is certain to come will inevitably set you up for frustration, for anger, for depression, for chronic discouragement, for impatience, not being patient, but being impatient, for looking in hope to man, and looking to the events of this life to bring about your dreams to pass, rather than looking to the living God to do so, and submitting those plans to him. James warns us concerning a sinful inclination to which we are all subject, all of us. And that is presuming upon the future that we will live out tomorrow so as to fulfill all of our goals just as we have planned. Such a sinful presumption on our parts proceeds from sinful pride and misplaced faith. Had you told me when I was in college that I'd be standing behind a pulpit, I would have laughed at you. Seriously, I would have laughed at you. I had no inclination to do so. I had an entirely different plan for my life than what I'm doing now. But God changed those plans that I had. And God showed to me by His grace what He did want me to do. And now I wouldn't do anything else or want to do anything else than to serve God in the calling that He has given to me. And God, whether it's this calling or the calling God has given to you, so likewise, you can be a servant, you know, obeying, following, and extending the kingdom of God in that calling as well. As I said, dear ones, this sinful presumption on our parts proceeds from sinful pride and misplaced faith. For in so doing, we actually, whether we realize it or not, we actually are usurping the place of God, acting as though time was our creation rather than God's creation, and living as though we were the masters of our own destiny, which is what the world tells us we are. Dear fellow Christians, when the Lord is excluded from our plans for the future, and when we do not submit ourselves to His providential will, even in our ordinary plans to go shopping, or to go to work, or to attend school, we sinfully presume that the Lord will grant us another day to do these things. And we do so apart from any acknowledgement that tomorrow belongs not to us, but belongs to the Lord. Our time and times are in His hands. Dear ones, when our plans for tomorrow are not made in our minds and not upon our lips, with this qualification, if the Lord will, we show that we rejoice in our own godlike pride and self-sufficiency. James declares that all such rejoicing in our pride about the certainty of our future goals here upon the earth is evil. It is to proudly rob God of His glory by our actions and by our speech, to rob Him of His sovereign power and His divine authority over us and over our lives. It is the way, dear ones, I submit to you, that is the way to produce impatience rather than patience in our lives. To submit to the Lord is the way to see patience grow within you. To simply go off with your plans without submitting to the Lord those plans in your life every day is the way to see impatience produced in your life. The Lord reveals to us in His Word that it is in Him that we live and move and have our being, and not in ourselves, in Acts 17:28. It's in God that we live and move and have our being. Every beat of the heart, dear ones, every breath that we take, every thought that comes into our mind, and every movement of the hand or of our feet, every sight that we behold with our eyes, every minute that we live is ordained by Almighty God. Job makes such a declaration in Job chapter 14, verse 5, when he says, seeing his days, that is man's days, are determined, the number of his months are with thee, that is with God, thou hast appointed his bounds, that is man's bounds, that he cannot pass. Dear ones, it is the Lord that declares the end from the beginning, as he says in Isaiah 46:10. All his works are known unto him from the beginning of the world. We find in Acts 15, verse 18. All events, dear ones, are within the grasp of God's knowledge and almighty and wise providence. Whether it be things that we believe are by chance, like the casting of the lot. In Proverbs 16:33, it's in the hand of the Lord. It's his decision. Whether the rise and the fall of nations. In Acts 17:26, God is the one who raises up nations. It is God who puts them down. It is God who sets their boundaries. Whether it's the exact number of hairs in our head at any given moment. That's not even outside the realm of God's knowledge and providence. In Luke 12:7. Whether the falling of a seemingly insignificant sparrow to the ground. It's not outside of God's knowledge or providence. In Matthew 10, verse 29. Whether the sin of man, even the most heinous sin of man, was within the knowledge and providence, the providential will of God. That of putting Jesus Christ to death. The apostles declare in Acts 4, verses 27 through 28, that it was by the hands of wicked men that these things came about, that God had determined from eternity to occur. So even sin, though God is not the author of sin, though God does not force men to sin, nevertheless, all of that is included within the providential will of God. God is in control of all of these things as well. Whether the provision of your daily needs, that's within the knowledge and the providential will of God, Matthew 6:30. Whether the salvation of God's elect, that is within the knowledge and the providential will of God. All of these things having been determined and decreed from all eternity. Nothing, dear ones, is left to chance from God's perspective. Nothing. Now, I ask you, do you believe this is true? As Christians, of course, we believe it is true. We make that profession as Christians. We believe that that is true. However, our misplaced faith appears in that we think at times and speak at times and act at times as though it were not true. When we make plans for tomorrow apart from sanctifying those plans with God's blessing and prayer. Our faith, dear ones, is in a practical way, in those instances, placed, not in the living God, but is placed rather in our own plans and in our own resources or in people or in events, rather than the living God. But dear ones, just as the food we eat is to be sanctified, by God's blessing through prayer. Well, we do that on a very regular basis. But do we, on the same regularity, and with the same degree of regularity, do we sanctify our plans? Our daily plans, our plans for tomorrow, our dreams, our ambitions. God reveals, dear ones, that He is to be included in and that He is to be called to oversee all of our plans for the future. Not simply the big plans, but even, as we've said, even our ordinary plans. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Here we see that if we do not acknowledge God in all of our ways, in all of our plans, the issue is one of not committing our ways to Him. It's an issue of trust. Where are we putting our trust? And dear ones, it's no secret then why we are impatient when our trust is in events that can change and be altered rather than our trust being in the unchangeable God. Submitting our plans to Him. But the point of our biblical text, dear ones, is that in all of our ways, we must acknowledge the Lord, which implies we do not simply do what we want to do and then seek His rubber stamp upon our plans. We actually submit our plans to Him. We submit them. Lord, work through these plans. If any of these plans are not what Thou dost want, Lord, help me to be patient. Help me, my God, help me to submit to Thy will. And dear ones, if our desires, this should go without saying, but if our desires and our goals cannot be supported or defended from Scripture, our goals and desires must vanish. If our goals and desires and what we want are not in agreement with what God has revealed in His Word, then they must vanish. In order to realize a goal or a dream, if we must break the Sabbath, that goal or dream must vanish. We cannot compromise what God has revealed in His Word. We cannot submit to God and submit our plans to God when it is not according to the Word of God, the Scripture. As Christians who trust in Jesus Christ alone for our eternal salvation, we cannot be conformed, dear ones, to the desires of this present world. We must be transformed by the Holy Spirit working in our lives through His Word, through His revealed will, as He gradually renews our mind from the worldliness in which we live to godliness. Dear ones, if you are not willing to follow the Lord and His revealed will in Scripture, I can almost certainly assure you, you will not be ready to submit to His providential will in what He brings into your life by way of delays or changes in the plans that you have made. You must not only acknowledge and trust in Christ as Savior, but as the Lord of your life as well. Jesus says in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You see, dear ones, submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ is evidenced by a willingness, a loving willingness, to take up your cross and suffer if necessary Deny yourself. Deny yourself of the people and of the things of this life that may indeed prevent you from being faithful to Jesus Christ and His Word. And you must follow Christ in what He has commanded in His Scripture. Only such a course in your life will lead you to your faithful, patient submission when your plans are delayed or when your plans are not realized at all. The Lord, dear ones, may take you down the very paths that you have planned. That happens at times. Or He may scrap those plans and take you down another path which you had not planned. For who among us, dear ones, ever included in our plans long delays? Did you include in your plan long delays? Maybe you had short-term goals and long-term goals, but you didn't intend for those short-term goals to become long-term goals, and you didn't intend for those long-term goals to not be realized at all. Who among us has included in our plans setbacks in health, injuries, loss of work and financial trouble, discouragement, or periods of time where it seems that nothing is falling into place in our lives as we had planned? Who among us has included in our plans the death of loved ones? But dear ones, all of those very events were included in God's plan for your life and mine in order to cast us upon Christ, to submit to Him, to acknowledge Him, and to believe that He is not only our Savior, but He is our Lord. And that is why, dear ones, the present and the future must be committed every day to the Lord. For man proposes, but God disposes. Have you become frustrated, angry, and even bitter over hopes and dreams and plans you had made for the future, which have been interrupted, delayed, or even canceled? Dear ones, are you wiser than God? This is how God speaks to Job. Are you wiser than me? God says. Where were you when I formed all of these things? God says to Job. Are we wiser than God? We imply that we are if we think or act as though we could have done a better job of bringing our future plans to pass. In our anger, perhaps even silent anger, buried anger, that which no one else sees, we attack the very character of the Lord. We attack His sovereignty. We attack His wisdom. We attack His love. And we attack His faithfulness. Where is our patience in waiting upon the Lord when it appears that all of our plans for the future are indefinitely delayed or have been radically changed due to circumstances beyond our control? Although we are to make godly plans for the future, dear ones, invoking God's blessing upon them, submitting to His will, His providential will, it is the fruit of patience, dear ones. It is the fruit of patience that carries us through when our future dreams and goals are delayed or changed. And that fruit of patience grows in the soil of God's sovereignty, resting in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Sometimes, dear ones, it is not even waiting patiently on the Lord for the goals that we have set for ourselves, but rather waiting patiently on the Lord in the midst of great suffering and trial that we may be suffering, and looking and praying that God would intervene into these situations that we are going through even now. And even at such times, it is still not my will, but thine be done. Even as the Lord Jesus Christ suffered as no man suffered for his people there in the Garden of Gethsemane, to such a degree that he sweat great drops of blood from his body, suffering for all of those who would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of those whom he had chosen from eternity, suffering for them. And in the midst of that anguish, as he was a man, crying out, "Lord, if possible, remove this from me. But nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou dost will." That's the place. That's the place of submission. That's the place where patience will grow. Very briefly, let's move on from patience and the sovereignty of God to patience and the responsibility of man. Picking up the first part of verse 15, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will," now focusing upon these words, "we shall live and do this or that." I want you to see, dear ones, that God is not condemning all goals and plans we might set for the future, as if it were sinful to make preparation or to make plans or to look to the future with regard to what we hope to accomplish with our lives. In fact, I submit to you, our text actually presupposes that we shall be making such plans to live and to do this or to do that in James 4:15. You see, what the Lord here condemns is not our making plans for the future, but rather making plans for the future without seeking his blessing, submitting ourselves ultimately to his will, whatever falls out into the future. Though God, dear ones, is sovereign and can and often does alter our plans, we are still called to be his faithful stewards of the gifts and the resources he has given to us to set before ourselves plans and goals that are consistent with the revealed will of God in Scripture, and our plans that are submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ for him to bring to pass in his appointed time and in his appointed way. In various ways, dear ones, we see how God approves of such godly foresight on our parts in preparing for the future. He even goes to his creation to show the foresight and planning for the future, and encourages us to be like ants in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 25, when he says, "The ants are a people, not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." They make preparation for the winter to come in the summer. They're looking, as it were, to the future. Consider the example of Joseph. in Genesis 41, who made preparation for 7 years of famine during 7 years of prosperity, when it would have been easier simply to sit back during those 7 good years, sit back and enjoy the present abundance rather than preparing for the future famine. But he made preparation. Also consider that Paul himself made plans to visit the saints in Rome. After his visit to Jerusalem, he says in Romans 15, verses 24 through 25, he was making plans. But all of these plans must be submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Dear ones, it is the one who is lazy, who does not make godly goals for his or her future, but merely waits without preparation to see what each day will bring. How foolish on our parts, dear ones, to decide to make a cross-country trip and to make absolutely no preparations for it at all. You know, that's a disaster waiting to happen when we can make preparations. Dear ones, we will only waste the time that God has given to us if we do not prepare for the future by making godly plans, setting godly goals. We will continually spin our wheels with a lot of noise and a lot of promises, like a car that continues to spin its wheels when it's stuck in a snowdrift. But we will never move. We'll never move from one spot to the next if we do not sanctify plans for today, plans for tomorrow, plans for next month, plans for next year, and so forth. There was a slogan a number of years ago by one of the insurance companies. Now, this will date you, no doubt, if you can remember the slogan. And the slogan went like this: you're in good hands with Allstate. Beloved, you're not only in good hands, you are in the best hands when you are in the almighty, ever-loving, and infinitely wise hands of Jesus, who causes all things to work for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Is your trust in your sovereign Lord, whose plans for you have not changed at all from an eternal perspective, even though your future plans have not worked out, have been delayed for such a long time, or have radically changed? Do you give up? Do you increase in impatience? Do you throw up your hands and surrender in defeat? Do you grow angry and more angry and bitter every day? Do you dive into the pits of depression, prolonged chronic discouragement and despair? Why? Why? The Lord has not failed you. The Lord has not forsaken you. He is leading and guiding you into the future, his future, his times for your life. And perhaps he's guiding you into uncharted waters and unknown territory, just as he did with Abraham and bringing him into the land of promise. Hebrews 11:8 says he didn't even know where he was going. How could he set any real goals but simply to lean upon the Lord in that situation? Not that, again, we ought not to set goals, but Abraham was in a situation where he simply had to depend upon the Lord. God's providential will, God's leading in his life. This is the way we see with regard to the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus patiently, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 through 3, he endured all that he endured in patience. Not my will, but thine be done. And this is likewise what the Lord calls us to do in Hebrews 12, 2. In this race, not a sprint that's over in a short period of time, but a marathon. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And this we are called likewise to do. In verse 1, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. With patience. How big is your God? How big is your God? You see, that's really the question in learning patience. In all of the delays and unfulfilled dreams and ambitions in life, how big is your God? Is he big enough to make all things beautiful in his appointed time? You see, impatience answers that question. I don't know if he's big enough to make all things beautiful in his own time. Patience, on the contrary, answers that question. Absolutely. He is big enough, and he will certainly make all things beautiful in his own time. Let's stand together in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we humbly bow before thee, for thou art great, thou art mighty. There is none like unto thee in heaven and or in earth or beneath the earth. There's nothing to whom we can compare thee. Our Lord, thou art great, infinitely great and mighty. Teach us patience, O God, as we rest in the sovereignty of God, but let us not be lazy as we go forth to labor, to plan, to set goals, all godly goals, plans according to thy revealed will. We ask our Lord and our God that thou would grow us in patience as we are firmly rooting, Lord, that patience and growing that patience in the soil of thy sovereignty, the soil of thy wisdom, the soil of thy great love, and the soil of thy faithfulness. O Father, therein is where patience truly grows. We ask that thou would hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at puritandownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at puritandownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan hard drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan hard drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan hard drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan hard drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwaters Revival Books.